next on AM 1480 WLEA, the Newsmaker Show. Here's Ryan O'Neill.
Let's have on our Newsmaker line live this morning, Hornell Mayor John Buckley. Mayor Buckley, thanks for calling in.
Well, good morning, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Well, I wanted to start out with the Hornell budget news and the tax cap. What can you tell us there?
Well, the other night at the Common Council meeting, we successfully passed our new fiscal budget. We spent a lot of time going through the budget this year. I think we set a record for the longest Finance Committee meeting ever, at least as far as I've been concerned in the years that I've served. I think we had a 3-hour Finance Committee meeting trying to tighten the belt and move some things around, rebalance, do a little rebalancing of the budget, address some of the needs, some of the shortfalls. But yeah, I think we came up with a responsible budget. We asked for a 1.99 increase. My goal all along was to stay under 2%. And, when we first started getting into it months ago, at the first look, it looked like we were going to, we were staring at, a 3% or 3.5% or even close to a 4% hike, which, that's not acceptable to me. And as a fiscal conservative, I want to keep that down. I want to be responsible to the taxpayers of the city, but also, be responsible to the city as well. Parts and equipment, for city vehicles aren't cheap. The cost of doing business just keeps going up every year. Obviously, we're bound to contracts with city employees. So, it's just the cost of doing business. But I think we did a good job, with the Finance Committee, the City Chamberlain and I spent an enormous amount of time together going through the budget line by line. We had to make some, tough decisions and make some cuts here and there. All in all, I think we, presented a responsible budget to the Common Council. They passed it this past Monday and, we're ready to go for the new year.
Great. Now, the Chamberlain term of office, you wanted to change that. Tell us the details there.
Well, the City Chamberlain's term is a 2-year term, and the Chamberlain's term mirrors that of the Common Council. The problem that I see with that is every time the mayor is up for re-election, so is the Chamberlain. And I think it'd be in the best interest of the city and the voters if you staggered the term of Chamberlain and mayor. So, in other words, have the terms so you'd never have a new mayor and a new Chamberlain at the same time. I think because those are the only two full-time elected positions in the city, I think it makes sense to have those two staggered, just because of the powers and the duties of each office. If you were to have, two new people coming in at the same time, that's a lot of learning right out of the gate. And I can tell you, being a new mayor myself, I've relied heavily on Michelle Smith, our city chamberlain, with certain things, budgetary and otherwise, really getting into the numbers and, trying to get the most accurate, up-to-date numbers as far as, budgeting goes. And I was just picturing if we had a new chamberlain at the same time, how difficult that would be. And vice versa, down
sure.
the road, if we had a new chamberlain coming in and she had to rely on the mayor, it'd be the same thing. So, this is the perfect year to do that. The Common Council already voted, to approve that, but ultimately the voters will have a say because it has to go to a public referendum, which will be in November. So when you go to the ballot box, this November, you'll see the question on the back of the ballot, whether to change the term of office from the city chamberlain from a 2-year term to a 4-year term. And this is the time to do it because this is the year that you would vote on it. And next year, when that office is actually up for election, you would be voting on a 4-year term instead of a 2-year term, which would stagger the two terms. If we don't do it now, that window of opportunity closes for a few years because then the offices would line up again. But I think it's really a common sense decision. In the past we didn't really have to worry about it because we had, a mayor and a chamberlain who served, 30 plus years each. And, wasn't really, it was more of an afterthought than anything else. But, I think it's, just a common sense approach.
You know, something else I did want to ask you, and it's a similar type question, the employee residency rule. That's kind of complicated. Could you break that down for us?
Yeah, so, you know, that was something that was kind of dumped in my lap when I first took office. We have a residency law here in the city, for city employees, and the law basically states that if you're a city employee, then you must live in the city, or you can seek a waiver for, you know, certain circumstances if it's in the best interest of the city. Over the years, I think there's been a handful of employees that have failed to comply or fallen out of compliance. So, you know, we're just trying to button that up, but also make some common sense changes to the residency requirement. And I'll give you one example. The residency requirement, prior to us amending it, a couple of meetings ago, required all city employees, to live in the city, and that included part-time and seasonal workers. Well, the city has an agreement with the Village of North Hornell with our summer program to take on, some of their kids as well, because we have, shared services agreements, with the village and the town and so on. So, that's just a kind of a common sense thing to do, bring on, some of their kids during the summertime. Well, that conflicted with the residency requirement. So one of the recommendations that I gave the council was to get rid of that requirement and just make it so it applies to full-time residents only and not part-time or seasonal workers, such as the summer kids. So I think, there's some common sense things in there. There's also a grandfather clause. Prior to the original enactment of the law, which was back in 1997, if you lived in the village of North Hornell or, the town of Canisteel or wherever it is, you were grandfathered and, the law didn't apply to you. But there was a little known clause in there that said, upon promotion, then you have to move into the city. So in other words, if you were originally grandfathered and you lived in the village of North Hornell, and then, 5-10 years go by and, you're up for a promotion, if you take that promotion, that would trigger that clause and you would have to move back into the city. Well, not a lot of people realize that and it kind of went, unknown for a little while. So, we got rid of that. It only applied to a couple of employees anyway. Just trying to, have some, common sense, measures, implemented in that policy and that law, which the Common Council and Law and Ordinance took up. So we got that buttoned up. Hopefully we can move on from that issue.
And I wanted to ask you about the old Marion Rohr building becoming a new apartment complex.
Yeah, so that was great news this past Friday. I received a phone call from State Senator Tom O'Mara, and our senator informed me that we'd be receiving $1 million from the Restore New York grant program to go towards that Marion and Rohr project. So the company that's actually doing it is Park Grove Realty, and they're based out of Rochester. And they had come down a year or so ago, and they were looking at opportunities here in the city, and they were looking at the Marion and Rohr building, and they did a study and decided that would be a good fit for them to turn into market rate apartments. And So, and a lot of these, programs, whether it's, the Marion and Rohr building or going back in time a little bit with the Federation building, even the Lincoln School with that, that $8 million project, there's always some seed money in there from the state to kind of kickstart these programs, whether it's, historic funds or, Restore New York funds. So it's a really good thing for us. Alstom's ramping up and, with all of the contracts that they've been procuring over the last couple of years, and they're just starting work on the Amtrak contract now. But with that, we have an influx of people. And as you know, the city commissioned a housing study a couple of years back, which determined that we were deficient, about 240 or so market rate units. So, that's why you're seeing the growth that you are, whether it's Park Grove Realty, which at the Marion Rohr building, which is about it'll be about a $5 million project all in. The Bassett Group is moving along on the northern end, with the residences, and they're coming along. Reedman is up on Fairlawn Ave. I visited up there a few weeks ago with Mr. Reedman himself. He was in town, and we toured the buildings up there, and that's going to be just gorgeous up there. Nice view up on the hilltop. And in both places, Bassett and Reedman, they're actually taking applications already from people, so they're starting to fill up even though they're not open yet. So it's all good news, Brian.
Talking to Hornell Mayor John Buckley this morning live on Newsmaker. Going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment.
It's the spring sales event at Maple City Dodge. Lease a 2018 Jeep Cherokee Limited 4x4 for $369 for 39 months. Or lease a 2018 Jeep Cherokee Latitude Plus 4x4 for $351 a month for 39 months.
Must be a well-qualified returning lease. Leases include 10,000 miles a year and first payment due at signing. All taxes and fees included except DMV.
The leases are hot this spring at Maple City Dodge. Come talk to the Dodge boys and get the real deal every time.
Owe the IRS $10,000 or more in business or personal back taxes? Have you not filed in years? Call the Tax Doctor now. Learn how to pay the IRS less, guaranteed or pay nothing. 800-542-9112. 800-542-9112.
This is Steve Walker of Walker Metalsmith's Celtic Jewelry. The people of the Southern Tier have been very good to me as my business grew from making jewelry in my parents' basement and exhibiting at craft shows to where we are now with a workshop full of assistants.
Dad bought the building at 1 Main Street, Andover, in 1992 for a workshop. The little showroom was an afterthought because people just started to show up looking to buy our silver and gold Celtic jewelry.
Our customers have given us wonderful support and encouragement, for which I am very thankful. Now I am also very grateful to the carpenters, tradesmen, and contractors who have so beautifully restored the former Andover Village office so that we can have a bigger and better showroom for our creations.
So many others have helped along the way, so in appreciation of everyone in the community, we're throwing a grand opening party.
The old showroom will be closed during the week after Easter, reopening on Friday, April 6th at 4 Main Street. Please join us for reception and refreshments from 4 to 7 p.m.
The party will continue on Saturday from 10 to 4 p.m. Come help us celebrate this new beginning.
Have you written a book? Learn how to get it published and potentially sold online and at bookstores. Attention all potential new authors. Call Page Publishing now for your free book publishing kit. 800-470-4833. 800-470-4833.
Checking in now with meteorologist Rob Carolyn, who has the answer to the question, why is the sky not blue today?
Brian, it's associated with warmer weather moving into the northeast. At least temporarily, we get to say goodbye to the colder than normal temperatures, but unfortunately, they'll be back. They're going to be with us for much of the first half of the month of April. Clouds today, we should be able to touch 50 degrees if you're out and about. Watch out. I have some reports of some patchy fog still in parts of the southern tier. Sun came up this morning, 6:58. It'll set tonight at 7:32. Tonight should be partly to mostly cloudy. It'll be 35 to 40, and little change into tomorrow. More clouds. May even have some rain tomorrow afternoon, highs near 55. Rain will continue to fall tomorrow night, 40 to 45. Rain will taper off to scattered showers on Friday, Brian, as a front moves off to our east. We'll be breezy Friday, with highs between 45 and 50. Cooler temperatures in the forecast for the Easter weekend.
And we're back with Hornell Mayor John Buckley. A couple of Hornell issues wanted to go over before we move on to state issues. You say there's a town hall, Mayor Buckley told me during the break, tomorrow at the YMCA. What's that about?
Yeah, so STAC, which stands for Southern Tier Tobacco Awareness Coalition, they're hosting a neighborhood conversation at the YMCA tomorrow from 5:30 to 7:30. And STAC does great work throughout the county, not just Steuben, but Chemung and Schuyler County as well, and basically what they do is they try to educate youth and adults to the dangers of smoking and the dangers of of tobacco. And I remember some years ago I actually worked with STAC back when I was serving on a council. We passed a local ordinance to ban smoking at school bus stops located in the city, and that's how I became involved with STAC, and I've always stayed in contact with them over the years, and they wanted to do some events around the county, and decided to come to Hornell, so I'll be there myself tomorrow. It starts at 5:30 and goes from 5:30 to 7:30 right at the Y on Center Street. So look forward to doing that, and hopefully we'll get some people in the door, and we'll talk about the dangers of smoking, which there are many.
Now, also during the break, you said we talked a little bit about the expansion that's going to be going on at the Plaza.
Yeah, so the Plaza was just sold recently. Bricksmeyer sold to a developer called Flom, and they're looking to really start the movement on the northern end. If you go up to the Plaza and you're standing in front of Wegmans to the right, you'll see that field. A lot of those trees were knocked down and damaged during the last ice storm that we had, the ice and snow storm. But that entire lot was annexed by the city of Hornell some time ago, and they're really looking to develop that and expand the Plaza. I've seen different plans over the past couple of years. I think what they're ultimately looking at is probably another 7 to 8 stores over there, including probably at least one large retailer. And there's even talk of putting a hotel along 36 as well. So, again, I think it all ties into everything else, with St. James, the new hospital, Alstom ramping up, all the new housing developments going up, which there are many, and, the expansion of this Plaza. So, in an area of a state that's really bled population over the years and where businesses have fled across the border to other states, I think, we are very fortunate here in Hornell and in this area and this region, because while a lot of other areas are hurting, we're on the uptick. And I think, in the next 3 to 5 years and even beyond, we are on such a great trajectory, and it's really just a great time to be in Hornell and be a part of it, and really see the resurgence of Hornell. And I think you can see that reflected in people's attitudes, when they're walking down the street, just having those conversations with people. It's just such a positive time to be in Hornell, to be in the area, because it has such an effect, not just in the city but in the outlying municipalities as well.
Talking to Hornell Mayor John Buckley, moving on to state issues. Mayor Buckley, your thoughts on the Governor Andrew Cuomo race for governor now that he's got a Democrat hopeful opponent in New York City-based actress Cynthia Nixon, and then the GOP has two candidates that are in the lead there, State Senator DeFrancisco of Syracuse and Mark Molinaro, the Republican County, Dutchess County Executive Republican from Dutchess County. Your thoughts, first off, on the Cynthia Nixon issue?
Well, that's interesting. A lot of people are discounting her in the Democratic primary, and I guarantee Governor Cuomo is not taking her lightly, because obviously she's got some quite a bit of name ID just from her her days in on the HBO show and some other movies. So she does have name ID. I don't know what she has in her war chest financially speaking for her campaign. But she's running to the left of Cuomo, which is saying something. And she's even gone to the extent to call Cuomo, and quote me if I'm wrong, but a closet GOPer, which couldn't be further from the truth. If you look at the governor, he does have some. I'm not going to say that he doesn't have some common sense solutions to things, but he on certain issues he is pretty far to the left. So for her to be even further left than that, I think really says something. What kind of effect do I think it'll have on Cuomo? I think, when you typically see these races, when you have someone running to the right of you or the left of you, I think that person tends to be pulled in that direction, because they don't want to be outdone in certain, certain areas or certain groups. So, that's something to keep an eye on. But, what it does overall is, it serves as a distraction to Cuomo. And, the Republicans will You know, obviously at some point, you know, that will be, that'll go from a two-man race down to a one. And I don't expect a primary on the Republican side. I would think, ultimately DeFrancisco would probably drop out.
That's what Heineman is predicting. Heineman, Dr. Robert Heineman, the Alfred University political scientist professor emeritus, he's predicting that Molinaro will beat DeFrancisco, in that the county chairs are more behind Molinaro than DeFrancisco, and DeFrancisco will have to drop out. That's Heineman's thought.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. I think he's spot on with that assessment. I've met both DeFrancisco and Molinaro. I actually had Molinaro here in Hornell a little over a year ago, and you know he's a young, dynamic, energetic, well-versed. I mean, he's just very well-rounded. You know, he's got the entire package, and I think you're seeing that. You know, some of the straw polls. You know, I know right out of the gate when he went to the first event, he won the straw poll, and I mean, that was literally the day that he announced his intention to run, and he goes in and wins a straw poll against, I think, you know, four or five other Republicans who had, you know, already announced that they were in it. So, you know, I think that says something that, you know, the county chairs, they've been lining up behind him. And I think, you know, in a debate setting, I think Molinaro could, stand up to anyone. He's very, very quick on his feet, very sharp, knows his business. He's a Dutchess County executive, so you know, he's got that experience, he's got that executive experience. Very good guy, very well-rounded candidate. We're lucky to have him. You know, where does it go ultimately? I don't know. You know, it's hard to say. You know, New York is traditionally a Democratic state. I think about two-thirds of the you know, well, I shouldn't say two-thirds, but there's a lot more Democrats than there are Republicans in the state. You know, in this part of the state, not so much, but, you know, downstate is where traditionally the power is held.
With that, we have to leave it. Mayor Buckley, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me on, Brian. It's been my pleasure. You have a great day.
A man of the cloth, a pastor, has asked the mayor of Chicago to change the names of two parks in his neighborhood. Bishop James Dukes, pastor to Liberation Christian Center, says Chicago has no business honoring George Washington and...